Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to The Vanished ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Apple Podcasts.
A mystery unfolding right here in Northeast Ohio.
A car plunges into the Cuyahoga River with two people inside. The passenger says she saw the driver swimming away, but there hasn't been a trace of LaRon Harris since. So, where is he?
His family taking the search for him into their own hands. Homa, they say there are signs something strange is going on.
Yeah, Lee, signs that are giving them new hope, but raising a lot of questions.
27-year-old LaRon Harris disappeared from Akron, Ohio in the early morning hours of February 21, 2016. The car that LaRon was driving that evening plunged into the Cuyahoga River. His passenger was able to escape and swim to shore. When the car was later pulled from the river, LaRon was not inside. Extensive searches were conducted, but LaRon is still missing. LaRon's family is desperate to find answers to the many questions that they still have about what happened that night. The biggest question that still lingers is if LaRon was even in the car as it began to sink to the bottom of the river on that fateful night. I'm Marissa, and this is episode 111 of The Vanished, LaRon Harris's story. Audible offers thousands of popular favorites, exclusive new series, guided wellness programs, comedy, and exciting new voices in audio. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. The Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere. While traveling, working out, walking, doing chores, you decide. I like to listen a little bit each evening while I'm cooking dinner. And it's great for my evening walks, too. Recently, I've been listening to Lay Them to Rest by Laura Norton. It's a fantastic audiobook. You don't want to miss it. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. That's audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. Back in December, I asked a question in the Facebook group for this podcast. I asked if there was a local case from your area that hasn't gotten much media coverage that you would like to see covered on this show in 2018. I was shocked to receive over 1,000 responses to this question. One listener, Jocelyn, suggested LaRon's case, and then very quickly contacted his family. LaRon's brother Justin wrote to me asking that I consider the case. When LaRon initially went missing, he did receive some media attention, but his case has almost completely fallen off the radar since that time. We're now approaching the 2-year anniversary of his disappearance, and his family is desperate for answers, but they're also feeling completely alone in their search for him. I spoke to LaRon's brother Justin and his mom Janice for this episode. Janice told me a little bit about her son, LaRon.
Well, he was born and raised in Cleveland. The school that he went to here was Glenville. He went to Glenville High, and he's been Cleveland born and raised. He was an honor student, a Barbara Bird Bennett scholar in school. He did great.
Several years before LaRon disappeared, he got into some trouble with the law, but used that as an opportunity to better himself.
He changed that around. Even with the jail time that he got, he used it to his advantage to finish his education and also get college credit, so when he come out, he can do better than he did before he went in. With that, he came out and gained work with his brother, Justin, and he was working with him at Charlie's. Justin and them got him on, Justin and my other son, got him working there at Charlie's with him. And within the first year of him working with his brothers, who had been working there for a few years prior, before he had even got there, he became their manager. He also rose from that position to become a district manager that's how we come to know of his disappearance. His employees was waiting on him to open up the store, and he hadn't made it in.
As you heard Jana say, Laurent had been working as a manager at a place called Charlie's Grilled Subs and was doing really well. Leading up to his disappearance, he was living with his girlfriend Taylor in Akron. On February 20th, Laurent's brother Justin was at the hospital because his wife had just had a baby. Laurent called him that day to ask about coming to the hospital to see the baby.
Well, the night before he went missing, I was in the hospital. My wife was having a baby. He had called me and asked me to come up there to see the baby. And I'm like, she just delivered the baby and she's asleep right now. So try to come in the morning or whatever.
After speaking with Justin and making plans to visit the following day, Laurent dropped his girlfriend off at work and went to hang out with some friends at a bar in Akron called The Lazy Gator. Justin told me that Laurent wasn't a big drinker, but would go out to that bar from time to time to hang out with friends.
I guess later on that night, he had went to the club, him and his friend, and then my brother went to the bar with his friend Matt, and him and Matt got into it with some guys up there. After they shut down the bar, my brother had ran into the girl that went inside of the water with him, supposedly. That's when the car was found in the river, and she had swam to land. And I don't understand, like, how she swam to land and my brother didn't, and he a strong swimmer.
After Laurent left the Lazy Gator that night, a woman, Kayla, asked for a ride because it was cold out. Laurent agreed to give her a ride, and sometime later, the car plunged into the Cuyahoga River. Kayla was able to escape and swim to shore, where she called 911. She stated that Laurent got out too, and she saw him swimming with the current before she lost sight of him. If you read news articles about Laurent's disappearance, you'll see that it's been reported that Kayla was a friend of his from grade school. Laurent's family disputes this. Remember, Laurent grew up in Cleveland, and Kayla is from Akron. In the police report for the accident, Kayla didn't even know his last name. She could only tell the police that his name was Rondo and gave a description of what he looked like and what he was wearing. Laurent's family wasn't notified about the accident because the police didn't know who the driver of the car was. It wasn't until Laurent failed to show up for work on the morning of the 21st that anyone noticed that something was wrong. Laurent's girlfriend Taylor contacted the Akron Police Department to report that Laurent was missing and that her car was missing as well. She told them that she'd made repeated attempts to contact him both by phone and text message, but got no response. When she called, the phone would go straight to voicemail. Laurent's family hadn't heard from him either. They kept trying to contact him, but got nowhere. The police department got a hold of Laurent's friend Matt, who had been with him at the bar that night. He couldn't remember if he had left before or after Laurent, but he mentioned that it was not like Laurent to just take off. Eventually, the connection was made between Laurent's disappearance and the car that had driven into the river.
They had found that car at least a half a day or more before we had been notified that that was Laurent's car. We had reported Laurent missing, but they didn't put two and two together until afterwards. So they found out the owner of the car. And the owner of the car, which was Taylor, Laurent's girlfriend, I made her report it missing, and that's how they put two and two together. By the time we got on scene, there were no press there. There was no nothing. It was just the policemen trying to recover the car out of the river. The accident and everything had happened at that point, and everybody there was like, this was like the cleanup of this accident. They couldn't pull the car because it had washed downstream, and they had to go send for special equipment to get it out because it was lodged up against something, and the creek was so swollen that they couldn't get it out like that. So they had to get a boom and a big crane to come in and boom crane it out because they couldn't get a regular tow truck to just pull it out. So mind you, this was when we came on scene. The boom operator and stuff had already been called, and they were waiting for them to come at this point.
When the car was pulled out of the river and LaRon wasn't inside, the Akron Fire Department Water Rescue Team and the Coast Guard conducted searches, but they didn't find any trace of LaRon. LaRon's family wasn't going to stop there, and they continued to search the river on their own.
LaRon's dad worked in the efforts for Hurricane Katrina. He had people come and help a man, a young man with a dog who goes through the woods. We had people working with a chain to drag through that river with meat hooks so that it can at least be skimmed. And they would have a team on one side of the river and a team on another. We went so far down that river until it emptied into the lake or bagged up into the marshy areas. We even had a young man that come and died. He went and snorkel dived as far as he could down in the whirlpools. Maybe that's probably where everything will wash up and collect that. And he tried to go down and look, nothing at all. And that kind of, if he's in there, did not make me feel no better about it. Because if his body was in there, where's his body? Just like nothing, not a remnant of nothing, absolutely nothing. Like, not an ear, not an eye, not a tooth. He had on jacket, hat, and all of that. None of that. Just nothing. And to be honest, when I came to that river, as a mother, I didn't feel my son in that river. I really didn't. I didn't feel like my son had been at that river or in that water. LaRon was an expert swimmer. He was a lifeguard at one point in his life, younger life. LaRon can swim very well. I don't understand how she got out, but he didn't.
We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't settle for that one doctor that isn't really addressing your needs. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable. And you can even search by location, availability, and insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. I use this and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/vanished and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/vanished. ZocDoc.com/vanished. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. I've been using Greenlight with my older two kids for years. One thing that I love about it is that I can set up recurring or one-time chores, customized to my family's needs, and then my kids earn an allowance to reward them for a job well done. Not only does it motivate them to actually get the chores done, but it also teaches them a bit about financial literacy and independence. They're learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/vanished. That's greenlight.com/vanished to try Greenlight for free. One more time, that's greenlight.com/vanished. About a month after LaRon disappeared, someone spotted something in the water that they thought might be clothes or a body. The Akron Fire Dive Team came out, but all they found was a trash bag full of yard debris. After all of the searches and now almost 2 years with no trace of LaRon ever showing up, his family wonders if he was even in the car that night when it drove into the river. They also question if Kayla was in the water too. In order to consider that possibility, we need to go back and look a little closer at the events leading up to his disappearance. LaRon had just gotten his income tax return, and when he called Justin that day, he mentioned this because he was doing a little shopping.
Yeah, when I had talked to him earlier that day, he said that he went to go buy him some shoes, some clothes, and stuff like that. And then he was like, I want to come up to the hospital or whatever. But my wife was still sleeping, and they had my newborn out of the room. So I'm like, it wouldn't make no sense for you to come up here for no reason right now. I might just come through tomorrow when we get released. And he was like, all right, I'm going to go to the bar tonight or whatever, and I'm going to see you in the morning. And that was my last conversation with him.
We know that LaRon had met up with his friend Matt at the Lazy Gator later that night. Matt said that LaRon was catching the attention of others that evening.
My brother had just got his income tax, and he was there at the bar. They was drinking. His friend Matt said that everybody was watching him at the bar that night because he had just got his income tax, and he was buying bottles of liquor from the bar, like $300 and $400 bottles of liquor.
When Justin told me this information about people watching LaRon spending large amounts of money at the bar, I wondered if he had a lot of cash on him at the time.
He don't like banks, so from what I was told from his girlfriend, when he had dropped her off that day and they had got the income tax, he had dropped her off at work, that he had about maybe $4,000 or $5,000 on him.
Justin also learned that LaRon had gotten into an altercation with some guys who just so happened to be friends with the woman that he ended up driving into the river with later that night.
The guy, Matt, his friend, he said that my brother and him got into it with some of people that she was hanging out with that night. I don't know their names or anything, but they had got into it with them people that same night. But she wasn't around at the time. And then my brother had went outside, and that's when he had met up with her. And she said, can you take me home? And he was like, yeah, whatever, since it's cold, he was going to take her home. And then that's when his car went missing.
Kayla, who claims to have been in the car with LaRon when it went into the water, was interviewed once by a local reporter with News Channel 5. This interview has caused many people to question her story because of her demeanor. I'm going to play this for you, but I'm also going to put a link in the episode notes because I believe that watching the video will give you a better picture of why this has made others suspicious. I encourage you to go take a look at it.
Dramatic new video tonight from Air Tracker 5 of a car being fished from the Cuyahoga River. There is now a desperate search underway for the man who was behind the wheel. The crash happened almost 48 hours ago in Akron.
A woman in the car was able to escape and swim to safety. News Channel 5's Homa Bash spoke exclusively to the woman who survived the harrowing ordeal.
You can clearly see the tire tracks still in the grass here. This is in between two apartment buildings in a big complex, and that car just narrowly missed this tower before plunging into the river.
Right here. This is where we went in at, right here.
Caleb Watkins is lucky to be alive.
The tire marks is right there where we went off at.
Around 3 a.m. Sunday, the 25-year-old was in a car headed for certain doom.
Man, I didn't think I was going to make it out to me. I thought I was going to die.
She says her friend LaRon Harris offered her a ride home from the bar. But instead of turning onto Merriman Road, he cut across the grass in this apartment complex.
I asked him, where are you going? You're going the wrong way. And he ain't say nothing. He just looked at me and just kept driving.
He kept driving right into the dark, freezing Cuyahoga River. As the car started to sink, Watkins says she did everything she could to get out.
Right leg just kept kicking hard, hard, hard. And I kept kicking. When I finally kicked it like the fourth time, it finally broke, shattered open. And I finally climbed out. He climbed out too.
She says she swam one way, he swam another. Soaking wet and in shock, she made it to shore and called 911.
Only two of you in the car?
Yeah, just two of us.
Okay, where is the gentleman at that was with you?
I don't know where he went.
Police went to search, but on Sunday, they couldn't find anything. Today, they saw the glimmer of a mirror and used a crane to pull the car out. Still, no signs of LaRon Harris.
So you didn't see him go under?
I didn't see him go under. He was still swimming.
And you didn't see him get out?
I didn't see him get out.
I talked to LaRon Harris's girlfriend over the phone tonight, and as you can imagine, she is completely distraught, still holding out hope that he'll be found alive. Anyone with information should call Akron Police.
There are two pieces of information that have led to a lot of speculation, and I wish that I had concrete answers for these questions, but I don't. The first is if it appeared that Kayla had actually been in the water that night. And the other is if she had called 911 from the phone that had been with her in the water. I've made repeated attempts to contact the Akron Police Department for answers to these questions. I was able to get the police report from the accident and also LaRon's initial missing persons report, but that was it. So, why have these two pieces caused so much speculation? Well, remember, it was February in Ohio, which is typically a very cold time of year. I looked up the temperature and it was about 27 degrees Fahrenheit or negative 2 degrees Celsius around the time of the accident. When our bodies go into cold water under about 60 degrees Fahrenheit, we typically experience something called cold shock, which can be very dangerous. When this happens, our body's first reaction is to gasp, and if you're underwater when that happens, you will drown and sink immediately. This used to be called sudden disappearance syndrome for that very reason. If you survive the initial gasp, you will then begin hyperventilating, which makes it harder to swim and affects many different systems in your body. By the 10-minute mark in the water, you'll begin reaching a point called incapacitation. This is where you lose control of your muscles and you're unable to swim. You may be wondering why I'm telling you all of this information. But my point is that it's remarkable that Kayla made it out alive and wasn't in need of any medical attention. But that's also the reason that many have wondered if she was really in the river that night. The other question is if she called 911 from her phone or not. This becomes important because many question how she could have called 911 from a water-damaged phone. Now, we do know there are some waterproof phones out there, and there's also some waterproof phone cases. Janice has been told that Kayla knew some people who lived in that apartment complex, so it's also possible that she was able to go to their apartment to use their phone. No one else has come forward claiming to have witnessed the accident, and LaRon's family has had a lot of trouble getting answers from the police department. The Harris family was on scene when the car was pulled out of the water, and Kayla said in the news video that she kicked the window out, but his family didn't see any evidence of that as the car emerged from the river.
None of the windows were smashed out. She said that the back window was smashed out, and I did not see the back window smashed out. His driver window was rolled down, but it wasn't smashed.
After the car was taken away from the scene, his family never saw it again. It was owned by LaRon's girlfriend, and when she was eventually contacted about it, she was told that she would either have to sign it over or pay the lot fees for the amount of time that the car had been stored. Not wanting to pay fees for a car that surely would never drive again, she signed it over. Because of this, no one has ever been able to get a good look at the car or the contents of the vehicle to see if anything was amiss. Kayla hasn't been very forthcoming with LaRon's family, which has only increased their suspicions. They have run into her from time to time, and her stories about that night have changed.
We run into the girl Kayla that was inside of the car, because Akron is very small. We run into her a lot for these past couple years, and each year we still, I mean, every time we run into her, we ask her the same. We ask her what happened that night. A couple times she switched up her story about how she got out of the car. First she said she smashed through the window. The first time she said that, my brother smashed out the back window and told her to go first, and then that's when she started swimming, but he didn't get out of the car. The second time we had ran into her, she said that my brother kicked out his window and told her to go, which wouldn't make no sense, because since he's the closest to the driver, why would he go first and then she'd come right here, then he'd help her out? I didn't understand that either.
It's odd to me that Kayla has changed her story. Is she hiding something? I can't be sure. But in my mind, I imagine that you would remember such a traumatic event, but who knows? I've never been trapped in a car underwater. Justin decided to hire a private investigator to help search for LaRon. With the amount of money that he had available to spend, the investigator told Justin that all he could do was ping LaRon's phone.
I had looked into tracking his phone because he was still logged into Facebook at the time when he had disappeared. And his phone, I don't know if it was still working or not, but it was showing the area that he was inside of the Merriman Valley where the bar was at. His phone was in that area. So me and probably like 90 of my family members searched that whole area. It's a lot of woods around there. So we walked through that water where his car was at. We all searched the woods and everything, and we still didn't find nothing. So I looked into seeing if somebody can track where his phone exactly was at. And I had looked up this a private investigator, and I gave him all my money. He said, only thing for the amount that I had, he can only just search the location where his phone was pinging off the towers close to him at. And so I paid him for that. It wasn't like no exact location. It was just the areas around. The first night, it was pinging inside of Merriman Valley. The next day, he had texted me and said that it's a new location popping up now, and it's close to Cleveland. So, and I got a lot of, all of my family members are from Cleveland, so I had the family members that was down there already searching where he said it was at, and he still didn't find nothing. When we were searching water, we did find, like, shoes that he had inside of his car, his work outfit.
The potential ping information opens up a lot of questions, but Janice told me that she doesn't necessarily trust the private investigator's word.
I think that's kind of odd, too, but once again, let me say that the kids hired this man, and at this point, we don't know how reliable he was, and was he just telling us something that we wanted to hear. When it got time to talk to the policeman, that man wouldn't even show his face. He wouldn't talk to nobody. And if he was as good as he say he was, or you know, at least bonded, licensed and bonded to do what he do, he wouldn't have had no problem with speaking with the police. But the police tried to contact him several times, and he wouldn't talk at all. He wouldn't even talk to them about the case, period. The officers that is involved, as a matter of fact, me and him both got on three-way on my phone to call that investigator, and he wouldn't even answer the phone for us. So
was this private investigator ripping off LaRon's family? Or is it possible that the investigator didn't want to speak to police because obtaining cell phone ping information isn't necessarily legal unless you're a law enforcement official or you have consent from the owner of the phone? There are ways that people have found to obtain this information, like paying someone who works for a cell phone carrier or contacting a hacker, but these methods are illegal. The question still remains as to whether LaRon's phone was pinging in the Cleveland area or not. The Akron Police Department has never informed the Harris family as to whether or not they ever obtained ping information for LaRon's phone. Justin told me another piece of information that has raised suspicions.
A couple years back, another kid was found inside of that water involving her as well, in that same area. She jumped inside of the water to save the boy, but I just find it suspicious that it happened at the same area that my brother went missing at. So I don't really know what's going on. I told the police to question her or whatever, and they blew us off and said that we was harassing them. So we haven't talked to them since it happened. We're harassing the police and her.
I found some articles about this boy drowning several years before LaRon went missing. It looks like Kayla and a couple other people jumped in to save the boy, but unfortunately, they were unable to rescue him. While I'm sure it's likely a coincidence, I can understand why this has made people suspicious, since they're already skeptical of her changing stories and evasive behavior. Unfortunately, a very important witness to the events of that night has also gone quiet. Remember LaRon's friend Matt, who was with him at the Lazy Gator? And the two got into it with some other guys who were at the bar that night? He was initially willing to speak to LaRon's family and the police, but that quickly changed.
I talked to him the day that we pulled the car out of the river, and since then, he refuses to talk to me, refuses to talk to my family, anything. Like, we ain't blaming him for my brother getting into a fight at the bar with him. Y'all supposed to be friends, like he was helping you, so I'm not mad about that. He just won't talk to us for some odd reason. I think he know more than when he tells us, because he lied too. He said that he didn't even tell us about the fight that went on that night. Or my brother was in the car with the girl that was cool with the people that they was about to fight. So he was lying to us until we had to drag it out of him.
It does make you wonder, could he know more, or could someone have intimidated him? I picture myself in that situation and think that I would want to help as much as possible. But I can't speak for him, and I don't know what his reasons may be for remaining silent. While I was working on this episode, I spent a lot of time looking at satellite views of the area where this all happened. While reading news articles, it sounded like he just missed a turn in the road and drove right into the water. But that's not what happened. To get to the scene of the accident, he would have had to have driven into an apartment complex parking lot. I couldn't find any explanation for why he would have gone to that apartment complex. Laurent didn't live there, and Kayla didn't live there either. After entering the apartment complex parking lot, he would have had to hop the curb and drive across a large grassy area to get to the water. Did this happen because Laurent was heavily intoxicated when he left the Lazy Gator? No one has reported that Laurent was visibly intoxicated, but since he's never been found, we can't know for sure. I wondered if this could have been a mistake on Laurent's part because he wasn't familiar with the area. But Justin told me that Laurent was very familiar with this particular area of Akron. The problem that I kept running into is that I've been trying to make sense of Kayla's changing stories, but since she's the only known witness, there's nothing else to compare them to. One thing that we know is that she's friends with the men that Laurent got into an altercation with that night at the bar. That's something that I wish had been explored further. I have found myself trying to make sense of how that car ended up where it did, and then I wonder, was Laurent even in it?
The Vanished is sponsored by BetterHelp. With social gatherings picking up after the winter, it can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin. It's a good time to think about the right amount of socializing for you. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you prefer more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. A therapist can help you learn how to set boundaries so you feel empowered to be the best version of yourself. Everyone can benefit from therapy. It's not just for those who've experienced major trauma. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, so it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/vanished today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/vanished.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And I was thrilled to learn that Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. I now have several items from Quince. I love their cardigans, pants, and shirts. I find their pieces to be easy to mix and match, and also to dress up or dress down. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/vanished for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/vanished to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/vanished. You may be wondering why we don't even have the answers to some of the most basic questions surrounding Laurent's disappearance. The problem is that the relationship between the Harris family and the Akron Police Department broke down very early on, which has left them feeling too intimidated to even call and ask about his case anymore.
Not since the incident in itself, they haven't did a thing. And I'm going to tell you something, we called, my sister called, I called. It got to a point that one day I called and I spoke to the director of safety, which was, I guess, the highest person I can speak to as far as the police department goes. I was referred to him and I called him a number of times and he gave me subtle hints. He told me one thing. Did I know that my family is calling almost every day to his police department? And I told him, yes, we want to have some answers. We need to know what's going on. And he asked me, well, did I understand that it was borderline harassment and it can be misconstrued. And did I know harassment like that was considered illegal? So, and basically he gave me a polite way of saying, y'all getting on my nerves and I wish I could call it so much. And I haven't spoken to that man since. Now, mind you, it's us calling him. He's not calling us. No one has called my phone to say anything other than you getting on my nerves. We just want to know, do you know anything? And I mean, it's like they were telling us, well, the detective Whitten told me that he anything new, I'll give you a call. That was his last words to me. In other words, don't call back and I'll call you if something changes. I understood that I had his personal number and I was very respectful as to call him at certain times, business hours and such. Guess I was doing too much. So I asked my sister to call, and that's when I got the call from the safety director who told me that it can be misconstrued as harassment. And did I know in the state of Ohio, harassment, calling someone and harassing them on their phone is illegal. And I can have charges brought against me. And when I said that, I felt defeated. You know, like, I can't call now, I'll never know. What's really killing me is that we want to have a sit down with them, but we don't even know if we'll get arrested or, you know, whatever. But we're going on an anniversary and we're going to get some answers. We need some answers. We don't know. They've never told us what to do, with where we go. I don't have a clue as to what I should do with my son's social. It's just floating in the air. Anybody can use it. I don't know. Do we consider him dead? If so, how do we go and get a proper death certificate? It's a lot of questions that haven't even been answered, and they haven't given us not their direction to go in. We don't know what to do if somebody becomes missing. How long him missing before we can consider him legally, consider him gone? I mean, we don't know what to do. We don't know what to say. We just in limbo right now. I can die today or tomorrow and I would never know where my son was or what should I consider him. I mean, after so many years, it would seem to me somebody need to deem something so we can put some closure to this, so our lives can at least try to go on. They never told us anything or what to do. I still don't know legally what should I do.
The police department has not contacted Laurent's family with any updates, claiming that there's nothing more that they can do.
They said they can't, the police said they can't do anything more about it because they questioned her and I guess they're going with her story. They interviewed her probably like once or twice and then never followed up or anything. They said we just harassed them.
This aspect of Laurent's case is very troubling to me. You've heard many episodes of this show where families haven't had positive experiences with law enforcement, but never one where they've been intimidated to the point where they're too scared to call. That's not right. In the last year, the Akron Police Department has been dealing with a controversy of their own. When Laurent first went missing, his family tried to set up a time that they could speak with the police chief. He promised to make that happen and would get back to them with a time and a day. But that never happened. Last summer, the mayor of Akron issued an ultimatum to that same police chief, telling him to resign or be fired.
City leaders, including Mayor Dan Horrigan, refused to go on camera to talk about the latest explosive allegations against the former chief, but they did speak to our partners at the Akron Beacon Journal. Police revealed Joe Nice approached an off-duty officer last Friday with evidence that his uncle, Chief James Nice, was having inappropriate contact with a female officer and made derogatory comments towards other cops. Major Ken Ball told the ABJ he spoke with Nice the next day on the phone, and Nice admitted using the N-word, and there was more.
There was a likelihood or possibility that would have been audiotaped, videotaped, whatever the case may be.
Someone who says those things, it's not acceptable in my administration, in this office, or in this city.
The top cop resigned Sunday. A special prosecutor is now investigating whether the former chief had any criminal conduct in the pending case of his nephew, accused of forging a car title.
I never saw any signs of racial discrimination.
But police union vice president Mike Leslie says James Nice did make offensive comments about officers' weight and towards former union president Paul Helinski, who died 2 years ago.
When he got mad at Paul, you know, he's like, you know, I can't wait for the guy to die. Statements like that.
I am angry at the circumstances that have brought us here today. It's an embarrassment. It doesn't meet the standard of the Akron Police Department. And unfortunately, this organization and members of this team will suffer. And I hope that we can do as much as possible to stem that.
When I reached out to the Akron Police Department, my hope was that they would use this as an opportunity to attempt to repair their image after such a damaging blow to their reputation. But I was disappointed by their lack of response. The Harris family isn't looking for the police department to perform a miracle here, but a little communication would be greatly appreciated. As of right now, they don't know if they should be looking for LaRon in the area of the accident or near Cleveland, where the private investigator claimed that his phone had pinged. It would be nice to let them know either yes, it pinged there, or no, it never left the area, and to hear that from a source that legally obtained the information. I'm a big fan of treating people with kindness and compassion. LaRon's family has been devastated by his absence. A little bit of empathy from the police department would go a long way. I sometimes get criticism for being too tough on the police, but I give credit where credit's due. I've had some amazing law enforcement officials on this show in the past. The fact that LaRon's family has been intimidated is unacceptable. So what happened to LaRon Harris after he left the Lazy Gator Bar in the early morning hours of February 21st, 2016? Did he drive his car into the Cuyahoga River with Kayla inside? How did she manage to escape unharmed and LaRon, who was a lifeguard, didn't make it to shore? Was LaRon even in the car as it drove into the water? Or could this have been a staged accident to cover up something more sinister? My hope is that the Akron Police Department will take steps to contact the Harris family and help them find answers to some of these questions because they're heartbroken. If you have any information regarding the disappearance of LaRon Harris, you can contact the Akron Police Department at 330-375-2181. If you would like to contact his family, you can find them on Facebook at Help Find LaRon Harris. LaRon is described as 5'8" tall and weighing about 160 pounds. He was last seen wearing a red sweater and a red hat. That brings us to the end of this episode. I would like to thank Janice and Justin for taking the time to speak with me. If you'd like to reach me, I'm on Facebook where there's a page and a discussion group. I'm on Twitter at The Vanished Pod and on Instagram as well. If you have a missing loved one that you would like to have featured on this show, there's a case submission form at thevanishedpodcast.com. Join me next week. I'll be covering a case from Washington. Thanks for listening.
I'm thinking he was never in that water. I think that car being in that water was a ruse for them or for whoever to do whatever. I think whatever happened to LaRon happened at that bar, and ain't no more to be said or done about it, period, point blank. And I also know that he had altercations with some words with some people in there. I don't think it ever got to the river, not like they're trying to make me believe. It's not that they are writing it off. They have written it off.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Vanished ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loro, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.